Well, good evening and welcome to High School Football on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore along with Paul Ingram and our producer and engineer Bill Proposky. We have high school football tonight from Peabody High School, where Danvers is coming in with a record of 5-1, playing the hometown Peabody Tanners with a record of 3-3 overall. This presentation of MSONewsSports.com is brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. By Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969 at 84 High Street. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. 557 Chestnut Street in Lynn. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for all your estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. The Lynn Museum at 590 Washington Street in Lynn. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance. The Porthole Restaurant, try their award-winning clam chowder. The Porthole provides a great dining value, combining quality with quantity. The Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. And the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com, the daily item serving the North Shore since 1877. Well, it's a nice night for football, and welcome once again. I'm Rick Moore, along with Coach Paul Ingram. And Coach Ingram, former Gloucester High School coach, with three Super Bowl victories in 4 years, four straight appearances at the Super Bowl for Gloucester High School. And, Paul, we were just talking before that you were also an assistant coach in three other Super Bowl teams, winning teams? Yeah. I know one in Gloucester, right? Well, there was one other one in Gloucester.
Yeah, they were all, the other three were also at Gloucester.
Okay, so the Fishermen have won six?
Yes, they have.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, this one. Let's talk about this one. Both teams warming up down on the field. Peabody in their blue jerseys, white pants, white helmets, and they're warming up down to our right. And a lot of numbers for the Peabody Tanner. Danvers Falcons is in the blue. They're warming up down to our right. A lot of numbers. Now I'm confused.
No,
that is Peabody.
That's Peabody. That's Danvers.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's get this straight. It's Peabody down to the right.
Well,
Danvers
actually,
to the left.
The symbol looks the same on their helmets.
I'm confused. Yeah. Like, yeah. Wait a minute. From here, yeah. You got the Falcon and the.
They
and
both
the
have good numbers. I'll tell you that. They both Peabody, especially. They were running four groups for passing games. So it shows you what the numbers are.
Well, now that I'm off to this flying stop, let's see if we can get organized. A lot of games tonight. Bill Newell, Tim Kearns broadcasting on Channel B. This will be our video game tonight, and we hope that you'll be enjoying it on video. Let us know. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com and let us know. Now, the Danvers Falcons, Paul, they're flying high, and I guess if they win this game, they get the number one seed in Division III, the division that they're in, and I don't understand the playoff component. I don't understand the permutations. But should Danvers win, they're in the driver's seat, even though Marblehead is going to win. If they win tonight, they'll be the Northeast Conference large champions.
Well, I guess you're right, Rick. I mean, it's very confusing. And Danvers did lose to Marblehead.
Right. Yep.
So I don't know. And the same thing with Gloucester. If Gloucester wins tomorrow, and I believe if Beverly wins tonight, that Gloucester will play Beverly at Gloucester, even though Beverly beat Gloucester earlier in the year. And they have the same record, right? So.
You're not helping me, Coach. But that's the way it is. More importantly, this is a big game between two rivals, Paul. And Peabody coming on playing better now after a pretty difficult start. Of course, they rely on the running game of Doug Santos. And Danvers with a multiple offense to a degree. They run an option with the quarterback, and they got a running back in Danny Lynch, the quarterback, Matt Andreas. But the Danvers defense has been stellar all year long.
Well, I've been able to. Well, I saw Peabody live in a scrimmage, and so I'm a little bit familiar with them. And I've seen Danvers in two games on film, and they're running a spread offense, but it's a little bit different. Sometimes they have two tight ends with it and three backs in the backfield, which includes the quarterback and shotgun. And when you go two tight ends, it kind of balances up the defense. So the defense, you know, can't shift down because there's one less player on the line of scrimmage. They have to actually cover everybody. So that's a little bit different than what you've seen with a lot of the other spread teams. And both Lynch and Andreas run big. I was looking at their size here on the sheets, but they're very quick, and they seem to carry the pile. So very impressive the way they run this offense, and those two guys are certainly capable backs of breaking it at any time.
Well, Lynch is listed at 5'9", 165, and Andreas at 5'11", 180. But
180, yeah.
They both run bigger than that,
as you will see. They'll carry a pile.
Yeah. Andreas with 7 touchdowns, 459 yards on 82 carries, and Danny Lynch with 2 touchdowns, 62 carries for 383 yards. And we'll take a look at the Peabody offense in similar fashion. Doug Santos, with all his statistical numbers, 965 yards, only needs 35 to break 1,000 this year, and 10 touchdowns so far. So it's not necessarily a one-man show, but boy, he's got all the offensive stats.
Well, I will say it's easier to defense one player than two. And, obviously our philosophy always was stop their best player. But when you got two or three really good comparable players, it's a lot more difficult.
All right. It's senior night here at Peabody, and it's a beautiful night. Temperature just below 50 degrees. Not much wind to speak of at the moment. Great football night. I'm sure there'll be another big crowd. Falcons, again, warming up down to our left there, and they're all white uniforms with the blue numerals and the blue Falcon on the white helmet. And, again, the Peabody Tanners with the blue jerseys. Everything else is white except for their steer. And I don't know if that's – what color is the steer, Paul? Is it purple or blue? I don't know.
Blue.
It's dark anyway.
Yeah, dark blue.
Okay. All right, so we'll take a break, come back, and listen to Danvers football coach Sean Terrio. This is MSONewsSports.com. High school football tonight on MSO.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on November 3rd, and I approve this message.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan at Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, Stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Okay, we're back, and we are joined now by Danvers football coach Sean Terrio. And, Coach, welcome back, and as Tim said before we went on the air here, congratulations on a tremendous win over Beverly.
Yeah, thanks. It was a great game.
It was a great game. It was well attended. It was a perfect night for football, no wind at all. A little nerve-wracking, I think, for both teams in that first half, and it sort of looked like one of the proverbial heavyweight matches where each of you guys were filling each other out in that first quarter, and then you traded touchdowns. But, Sean, I want to know what you think the highlight was in that first half, but certainly that goal line stand at the end when Beverly had first and four, that had to play huge going into the second half.
Yeah, well, you know, when you look at it at the end of the game, that certainly played huge. You know, I think it certainly, didn't give them the advantage as far as the momentum going into the half. And, that definitely was a big play.
Coach, we got to talk about, obviously we got to get to Matt Andreas, but the play of your offensive line, every time you needed 6, 7, 8 yards, whatever it might have been for first down, they just opened up a highway for Matt to walk through.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great group of kids. They're tough kids. They're smart. They're athletic. You know, and they really take pride in what they, you know, they're a very tight group, and you know, they certainly did a great job in that game.
Tell me a little bit about. Give me a couple of highlights or a couple of kids that you want to brag about on that offensive line. Because as I said, I thought they were just tremendous all night long, and whenever you needed the yardage, you got it. But and great pass protection on that touchdown pass. So pick out one or two of those kids on the front line, will you please, Sean?
Yeah, well, if Isaiah Clark is the right tackle and Marco Lagandina is the right guy, those two really are kind of the centerpieces of the offensive line, and they practice as hard as they play, and you know, they're smart kids, and they certainly dominate, the guys in front of them most of the time.
Okay, now your defense, you completely shut down Beverly. I think I had Beverly for like 41 yards in that second half. So were there any adjustments you made or just stick with the game plan in the second half and the kids executed?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the kids knew going into the half. They were a little unsure of, exactly what to expect. And I think by halftime they started to feel a little more comfortable. We kind of changed fronts a little bit at the half, just to kind of, they're hitting the edge on us a little bit more than we wanted, so we kind of had to widen some things out. But other than that, the kids just continued to play hard.
I know the kids got a little bit frustrated there on the fumbles in the first half, but it didn't really cause any damage, and you got out of that and had great ball security in the second half. It was just a great football game. What do you pick out as a couple of highlights, Coach?
Yeah, the turnovers certainly is something that we still need to address. It's kind of plagued us a little bit more this year than it had last year. But the kids, they don't, what I like about this group in particular is that, the adversity doesn't affect them, and, they never quit until the end of the whistle, and, it certainly is, one of those things that, you really can't coach that. It's just sort of like that, what that group has taken upon themselves.
Well, set up the winning touchdown for me from Andreas to Mike Nestor, because your quarterback was running, playing the option so well all night long, and then he just fired that bullet to Nestor going across from right to left.
Yeah, that's sort of like a run-heavy set. I think that is probably, in the 2 years we've been on that set, maybe the second pass was thrown out of it. I think at that point we knew that we had to do something to change to really get up for the run, and we had to try to throw something to make a big play.
All right, let's shift gears now. You guys are in great position for the playoffs at the moment. 3-1 in the league, 5-1 overall. Your defense is just outstanding, of course. Marblehead, the front runners. But let's not overlook the game coming up on Friday night. What do you see out of Peabody?
Well, they have probably one of the best players in the state, probably the best running backs, not one of the best running backs in the state. I even, in New England, I haven't seen everyone, but one of the better running backs that I've seen. And, he's elusive, he's explosive. Their offensive line has improved throughout the year, and, he's a tough guy to stop. So, it all starts around Doug Santos, and if we can stop him, we have a chance to win that game.
Certainly, Coach, stopping Santos is easier said than done for most teams this year, unless you put him in a straitjacket and tie his ankles together. It's a pretty difficult job for most teams on most Friday nights or Saturday afternoons. Do you more or less, though, plan to take away other aspects of PB, something like a Belichick plan where, okay, they got this one guy, we know we're going to get yards, and we can limit those, but we take away everything else that they can do, that job becomes that much easier, or do you try to mix and match it?
Yeah, well, I think, he's not the only player on the field, and you certainly have to be sound against everything else. And you can't just, completely key on him, but I think, the defensively-wise, we just need to know our leverage and, understand that he's not going to come down with one tackle. And, we do have some other players on the field, and as long as we play disciplined, we'll be able to take away that stuff as well.
Certainly you talk about your turnovers, but your team's been able to overcome those. They have to play with, right now, with such a high degree of confidence, and Phil Stacey mentioned, that this one against Beverly being a statement game. In your progression as head coach, where do you put this game in terms of meaning for the team as you continue to develop the team going down the road?
Yeah, well, I think going into the year, the team knew we were going to be pretty good. And we had, we had beat Linfield, but up until that point, we had not really played anyone in our division of that caliber. And I think that just kind of proved to the kids that, all the hard work we put in has paid off, and that they really are as good as we thought we were. And, especially Beverly with such a rivalry game, and, just the pride that you get from winning that game is huge.
Certainly walking into the postseason, having these kind of wins, the signature wins, as people will call them, certainly, again, boost the kids' beliefs that, they can take on a team like Beverly, or no matter who the school is, no matter what their name is, no matter what their past history is, you guys are coming to believe that you can play with each and every one of them.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, if you look across, our section, we can play, with anyone, and anyone can play with us. And, it's a very competitive division and section, and our league in particular, being in the North with predominantly all the bigger schools. I think we're sort of coming into the postseason a little bit more battle-tested if maybe we're in a different league or division. So, I think the kids are feeling pretty confident.
Sean, I'm sorry, Coach, go ahead.
Okay. Coach, X's and O's are fine. My focus is always the background stuff. What's the one thing that you have brought to this program that has enabled it to turn around and get on the direction that it's been following the last couple of years?
Yeah, well, I think that when I came in, we certainly made a commitment to off-season preparation as far as, like, workouts and conditioning and 7-on-7s. I think the program was already headed in the right direction, and I just kind of carried the torch over and just continued sort of the upward trend of what was going on in Danvers.
Final question for me, Coach. What's the history between Danvers and Peabody? Is there a rivalry there now? I mean, Peabody and the GBL for so long, but they're your next-door neighbor, and obviously this game is huge coming up for playoff seeds, but is there a history between the two schools in terms of football?
Oh, certainly. They're very close geographically, it's just one of those, just like most of the other teams in our league, there's always just that sort of rivalry here when it comes to any area that's that close to you. And, for me in particular, only being here 2 years, last year we came into the game thinking we had a pretty good chance, and they kind of stuck it to us a little bit, and, just thinking of last year, it certainly would be nice to get some revenge.
Okay. All right, Coach, we'll be there on Friday night. Looking forward to it, and congratulations and good luck this week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com. The pregame show is brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Well, welcome back once again. We're getting ready for high school football here in Peabody as the Peabody seniors have been introduced along with their families as it's senior night already. Senior night in Danvers last week in the middle of October, and that's, I guess, due to the playoffs. Playoffs begin next week, and I have no idea what the story will be. We're going to take a quick break and come back with a kickoff. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com on More Stuff Online.
Hi, folks, this is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. Hi, welcome back. We're ready for some high school football as we have our video connected. Invite you to stop in to Sylvan Street Grill and take a look at tonight's high school football game on the big screen at Sylvan Street Grill. We appreciate Ernie Tremblay and his family and all the help that they've given us over this football season, and hope you enjoy tonight's game. Should be a good one as the Danvers Falcons are visiting the Peabody Tanners. It's a beautiful night for football. Temperature at 44 degrees, partly cloudy outside. The wind not much of a factor. It's out of the north-northwest at about 6 miles an hour. So we're just about ready. All the captains are meeting at the center of the field over on Channel B. It's Beverly at Lynn English. And should Beverly win again, it's going to be a weird situation. If the favorites win this weekend, there's going to be some discussion about this this year's tournament action for sure. So, Paul, conditions are perfect. Great night for football.
Yeah, it is. And the kids are excited. Both teams seem like they're really up for this game. And I watch them during warm-ups, and they look forward to playing, I can tell that.
Do you really get any kind of a feel for that in warm-ups, coach, when you're a coach
on
the sideline?
Sometimes it's odd. I mean, you can have a poor Thursday practice and play well on Friday, and you can warm up and look great, and something happens to deflate you. So it's an up-and-down game, and, it's hard to predict.
All right, well, as expected, a tremendous crowd tonight. Just again, the one stands on one side of the field, on the near side here, and that's where everybody is. I don't know what this setup is. Looks like, I can't tell if that's Peabody in front of us. Yeah, it looks like Peabody in the center of the field, so Danvers must be down off to our left, although the Peabody band is off to our left as well. But it's a big crowd. Referee Phil Brody's up here keeping an eye on us, make sure we call the game straight. We talk with Phil. Last week he ran the clock for the Danvers-Beverly game over at Bishop Fenwick. Here we're actually at the 50-yard line and not on the 20. Great place to watch a game.
Well, like most of the fields, too, they've got a new stadium, a new turf field, and I think you're going to see Danvers, I know, is in the process of putting one in. So I think you're going to see all the teams going to this, and certainly can handle a lot of play. And that was always the problem with the grass turf.
Well, you know, it's also a testament to the program that Sean Terrio has created now in his second, or has continued, as he puts it, in his second year at Danvers, as they are playing all their games on the road, and they are standing at 5-1 at the moment. Now the Falcons will be kicking off from right to left, and their kicker is David Zebek. He's 5'10", 160 pounds, number 16 on your program. He'll be kicking off from right to left, and Doug Santos, of course, back in the middle. for the Peabody Tanners. He is the leading ball carrier in the conference, and Ogana Okinawa will be off to his left. So we're just about ready, finally, for the start of tonight's game. Thank both athletic directors, Andy St. Pierre over at Danvers High School, and Phil Sheridan, of course, here at Peabody High School. And it is great to see all the number of players on each sideline. For a couple of years there, numbers were a little bit thin, but they're coming back. All right, here's Ebbick. Right foot, short kick. Hits at the 35-yard line, goes out of bounds inside the 30. Just a high reverse spin kick that goes out of bounds.
Well, I don't know if that was planned or not. It looked like a pooch kick that just goes over the first line and goes down the sideline, but it went out of bounds, and looks like PB will get decent field position.
Well, a couple of weeks ago,
30-yard line.
A couple of weeks ago, Coach, we saw Beverly deliberately do that. They kicked everything, did everything they do to keep the ball away from Doug Santos. So Santos will be the feature running back, of course, tonight. Eric DeMeo is the fullback, and Matt D'Amato is the quarterback for Peabody. They generally start David Pence at center, Chris Goggin, Marcus Gutierrez at the guards, Dan Heredia and Dan Smith, the tackles. Ugi Okinawa generally in the backfield. We'll see who's starting at tight end. And it is D'Amato, of course, in, at quarterback. So the ball will be at the Peabody 35-yard line to start this game. First and 10, no time off the clock as we begin high school football, Division 3 and the Northeast Conference Large. It's the I formation with a man in motion. It's Okinawa, and it is a pitch back on a run play to Santos that gets a couple of yards, maybe to the 37.
Well, Danvers came up quick. That's what you got to recognize. And Nestor, I believe, number 12, is that?
Mm-hmm.
And came up, make a nice tackle. You know, he tackled Santos by himself.
Open field tackle, as it were.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, second down and 7. The ball is at the 38-yard line. Now it's, again, the I formation, man in motion, and it's a handoff to that second back in motion who cuts it upfield and gets close to the first down, but a little bit short. That's Jake Daugherty with the carry out to the 43.
Well, that's a little bit different. They faked to Santos and gave it to Daugherty, and seemed like a off-tackle play to the left, and third and 1.
Yeah. Ball is out just shy of the 44, still toward the middle of the field between the hash marks as Peabody is moving from left to right. So it's third down and a long one. Danvers with four men up on the line of scrimmage. They've got a 4-4 alignment. Hand off Santos, first down. And not much more, but he does get the first down to the 47.
Well, Danvers is playing a 4-3 defense, four down linemen, three linebackers, and a four deep secondary. So, with a four deep secondary, you can make a lot of adjustments and you can have your secondary help you, but it's kind of fun to see an I formation. I mean, we haven't seen that in a while.
I saw 4-4, but now I see the 4-3. Okay, yep,
yeah.
Got a man in motion with the I formation. Pitch to Santos, trying to sweep to the left. Gets it outside and submarines forward across the 50 to the Danvers 47. Positive yardage once again. We'll have to see if we can pick up some of the tacklers here as we go along. But it is at the Danvers 47, so that's about a 6-yard gain. So it'll be 2nd and 4.
It's a real deep pitch, and they get him outside. He's probably over the tight end by the time he gets the pitch, so he's got his shoulders headed up the field, and it seemed like they were very successful been running to the left.
With Okinawa in motion, they're going to go up the middle this time, fake pitch to the right. I think they got the first down, but I don't know who the ball carrier is.
Yeah, that would look like a fullback trap.
That would be Eric DeMeo. And just short of the first down. Just short. So it'll be third down. And about 1 to go. The ball is at the 40, just short of the Danvers 43. And they need to get it just inside that 43. So ball on the far hash mark. We're in 4 down real estate, I presume. Wing to the right. Hand off to Santos. Second back, and he gets the first down easily to the 38-yard line. So nothing fancy, Paul, just kind of off-tackle stuff, sweep left, sweep right, and they're doing it.
Yeah.
Very important for
a couple of other guys have carried the ball too, which is good for Peabody.
Danvers has Marco Lembina. Let me try that again. Marco Lembina up front, along with Zach Schutz and Kyle Warren. First and 10 at the 38-yard line. Hand off to an end around, it looks like, and that's Okinawa retreating, now going forward, and gets it to the 33.
Well, they're putting him in motion, and they're faking the ball to Santos and giving it to him. I think it was planned to go off tackle, but he bounced it out to not much, but he's good pickup.
33, yep.
Kind of a broken play, too.
5-yard gain. All positive yardage so far for Peabody. They started this drive at their own 35 about 4 minutes ago. And this will be the eighth play of the series. Second down and 5 on the near hash mark this time. DeMeo's the fullback and Santos is the tailback in this I formation. Santos up the middle, dancing into the secondary. And he's close to the first down. He's got it. Another first down for Peabody.
Peabody, on their left side of their line, had wide splits with their offensive linemen, and I was watching the defensive end for Danvers, and he widened with the widest guy, which left a gaping hole, which they ended up running through. So I don't know if Danvers runs an eight-man front defense, but they might have to go to something like that to just put more people in the box.
Four different ball carriers on this drive so far. This time they split one receiver out to the right with Okinawa in motion from right to left. Handoff up the middle. But
left guard moved.
Yep, too much time or
I think it was
motion.
The left guard was in motion.
Okay. So we'll bring that back out to the 30. Clock moving right along here in this first period. Stop now, of course, for the penalty, but we're down to 6.5 minutes with no score. Glad to have you with us. Alex Sanfilippo is our streamographer tonight. And terrific video coverage of high school football. And again, if you're in the area, head over to Sylvan Street Grill. Check it out on the big screen over there. Wanted to move the clock along a little bit here.
This is what coaches just dread. I mean, they're moving the ball right up the field and on schedule, and now they got first and 15.
First and 15 with the ball just outside the 30-yard line, midway between the hash marks. It's the I formation again. And this time it's a handoff to Okinawa, trying to sweep to the left, cut it outside, squares his shoulders, and goes forward. Close to the original line of scrimmage, getting most of the 5 yards back. All right, they're going to put it at the 26. So he does get four back. So, as you might have heard the stadium PA, it's second and 11. And the clock continuing to move.
Basically, when you run, you know, an I formation, what you're saying is that, you know, we're tougher than you are, and we're going to run the ball usually between the tackles, but a little bit to the outside too. And that's what they're doing so far.
Second and 11 with that I formation. Handoff to the fullback up the middle, pounding his way forward. Good yardage for DeMail. Short of the first down, but again inside the 20.
So now they're back on schedule. They got about third and about 4 yards, so should be able to get at least 2 yards on a carry.
Ball is just inside the 20 on that far on the far stripes, far hash mark. We're down to 5 minutes left to go. So
I know this is frustrating for Danvers.
Yeah,
because they just haven't been on offense yet.
Tanners have had the ball for the first 6 minutes and counting. First down after first down, they're looking for their fourth first down of this series. Quarterback D'Amato, handoff Santos. Ooh, he's punished at the line of scrimmage. I don't think he got there.
I tell you, a good tackle by somebody. It just stalemated him.
So we're facing a fourth down at the 17, I think it is, right? 18?
I'd say that Peabody's 17. Really doing a good job mixing up you know, the plays and the ball carriers. The fullback is not just a blocker. I mean, they ran him on a trap a couple times and gotten good yardage. Looks like a big boy. What's his size?
DeMeo is a sophomore. He's 5'11", 210.
Yeah,
so he's broad-shouldered. Looked like Darty brought the play in. Now, this is a long time in the huddle, coach. Got to watch out for that delay of game. It's fourth and two for Peabody at the 17-yard line. Now they've got a split backfield behind D'Amato under center.
Oh,
bad snap.
Boy.
It was going to be a direct snap to Darty, and he's going to be clobbered back at the 33-yard line. So they had success up the middle on just pounding the ball. They go to a gadget play, and Danvers takes over.
Well, they went to shotgun. I mean, they've had the quarterback under center the whole way down the field.
Yeah, but that was Daugherty back there.
That was like a Wildcat?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a dead cat right now.
23-yard loss.
Snapped about 10 feet over his head.
Now the Falcons take over at their own 31 is where the ball is. We're showing 3:49 left to go. So we're talking 7 minutes and 21 seconds of clock time. And they come up empty with significant yardage as well. All right, there's a run play to start the game. And I was looking at my score sheet here, and I don't know who carried the ball, but there's a little mix-up in the backfield there, and there's a penalty flag.
Yeah, that's all, yeah. It'll be unsportsmanlike conduct, but I'm not sure on who.
Lynch carried the ball, and I don't think he got anything. Got to the line of scrimmage, and that was it. But then there was some pushing and shoving, personal foul on Danvers.
Yeah, 77 after the whistle is pushing the Peabody player.
I didn't see anybody get hurt. There's an ambulance over down behind the far end zone.
They've had that on the whole game. I think it's part of the show here, right?
Well, let's hope that.
Well, actually, Cruiser just went by, so.
All right, so I'm going to step off 15 big ones. Going to go all the way back to the 16-yard line.
And it was after the play, so it's they don't get to repeat the down. So,
ooh, mercy. So that's not the way that the Falcons wanted to start. Matt Andreas is the quarterback. Danny Lynch, the running back. They're going to split receivers out to the left and right. And Andreas is in the shotgun with Lynch to his left with a man in motion. He gets a snap. It's keeper by Andreas, and he gets big yardage, breaks it all the way out to the 30-yard line. Running that option. Ran that so well last week.
Right, and he must read it. And he has the choice of giving it to the back on a jet or keeping it himself. And what he does is, I'm not sure which man he reads, but he reads, and whatever that defensive player does dictates how he, if he gives it or keeps it.
So it's third down now.
Here's the two tight ends I was talking about.
And about 10 to go. Andreas in the shotgun, looking to his right, trying to throw the ball, and he's going to be sacked back at the 24-yard line. Trying to see who the first man there is. Is that Okinawa? No, it's 25, not 26. Oh, it is Okinawa. Okay. It is 26. So that'll force Peabody to punt the ball. Well, we got to keep our eye on the electricity. It went out again. I must be busting a circuit here, but we're back on. So, good defense by Peabody. And the Falcons will have to kick.
Andreas got, he went to throw, and he got hit from the backside, mm-hmm. So
there's a good punt that hits at the 50-yard line and rolls forward for Danvers down to the Peabody 38. And Tom Dempsey is the punter for the Falcons, and a nice punt, forcing Peabody back to their own 38-yard line to start their second drive.
Well, Danvers got a huge break on that fourth down play by Peabody, and the personal foul is just a killer.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting is after that long drive, got the ball down to the Danvers 17, pushing it back out to the 30. So that leaves a net offense on the first drive for Peabody of 35 yards. You'd thought they would have had a whole lot more than that by Santos himself. But here we go. First and 10 at the 37. Santos is clobbered at the line of scrimmage, moves forward, and goes up over his head. Man, that was a strange play. But his knee was down back at the line of scrimmage.
He's just watching here and watching his speed. His first step is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where you get your speed. I mean, he's just able to get going at full speed in two or three steps.
This presentation of MSNU Sports is brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill and watch this game on the big screen. Also by Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. Second down and 11 for Peabody. Rolling to his right is D'Amato. Under some pressure, he wants to throw it and throws it out of bounds as he was being chased by one of the linebackers for Danvers, Marco Lagambina, 6'1", 230. I'd get rid of it, too. So that's an incompletion to make it a third down for Peabody. Matt D'Amato is the quarterback. For the Tanners, 5'11", 180, he is a junior. No, I'm sorry. Check that. 6'1", 155, he's a junior. A little thinner than Andreas.
Well, 77 started out the game playing right defensive end. Now he's the left defensive tackle. It's a big boy. Now they've got an odd front.
All right, so it's a big third down play, and 77, of course, is we're talking about Ben Caputo, I presume. No. All right, anyway, it's pass play over the middle, intended for Santos at the 50, and just a little too high, incomplete.
Well, Danvers went to a three-down lineman, and everybody else was like a linebacker, so I don't know if it's because of the shotgun. They went to shotgun on that play, but they've changed their defense a little bit, added a little more beef in the middle.
Well, Isaiah Clark is the guy you're talking about on defense, 77, and he is 6'5", 200-pounder.
No, 270.
270,
I believe.
Almost
yeah.
A 300-pounder, yeah. All right, so anyway, a minute left to go in the first quarter, no score, and Peabody has to punt. They're going to get a kick that hits at the 43 of Danvers, muffed there by Lynch, and he is going to go under at the 31-yard line. So he did recover it, but dangerous play.
Danvers will take over first and 10 from their own 32-yard line.
All right, so the Falcons start this drive at the 34. And no score, as we mentioned. Each team with a possession. Peabody's had it twice, Danvers once now, with 53 seconds left to go in this first quarter. Matt Andreas is the quarterback. Going to put Nestor and swing him way out to the wide side of the field. That's the near side. Two men in the backfield. I heard a whistle, but it's a run play for Lynch. And he hops over the 35 out to the 37. Second down and about five. Put it out to the 38. Right back to the line of scrimmage. Hand off again, Lynch. Off the right tackle, pushing the pile forward. Gets close to the first down. He may have it out to the 43.
Well, they've, the last two plays, they've gone to two tight ends, which, I stated that it balances out the defense.
Now they huddle. Dan Theodori, Randy Ramos, Cam Powers up front for the Peabody Tanners. First and 10 for Danvers. That's their first down on the far hash mark. They're moving from right to left. Three men, two other backs in the backfield with the quarterback who keeps it. Andreas up the middle, and he gets to the 50, about 6 or 7 yards.
Well, it appears that, you know, it's an option play, and he seems to read it well. It's not always that easy. Sometimes the guy you're going to read, or the player you're going to read, doesn't do anything. So it's sometimes there's indecision, and whether you give it to the back or you keep it yourself, and it can get confusing. So I guess we're at the end of the period here.
Okay, so we'll take a break after one. There is no score from Peabody High School between Danvers and Peabody. We'll be back.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
All right, I want to thank Phil Brody. Ipswich is leading Georgetown in the third quarter, 6-0. Pair of field goals, you said, Phil? Two field goals by Ipswich. This one is no score after one, so we start the second quarter with Danvers showing some life now on offense, getting their first down as we start this second period. They are at the 50-yard line. Now they're moving from left to right. Second down and four to go for Danvers. Again, that weird formation, like an eye to the right of Andreas. He hands it off to Lynch. He's tackled after about a two-yard game. And making the tackle was Daugherty, Jake Daugherty, for Danvers. So it's a one-yard gain to the Beverly to the Peabody 49. That makes it third down and about four for the first down. Beautiful night for football. Big crowd here in Peabody once again. Great turnout by the local folk and the Danvers fans as well. Andreas with two men in the backfield. He's going to pitch it to Lynch, trying to sweep to the left, being chased by a running back, but gets past him and gets close to the first down, being chased by a defensive back, I should have said. He gets into inside the 40. Well, let's see. They're going to put it at the 47, so it's very close to the first down.
They pitched. The quarterback is in shotgun. He gets the ball, and he just pitches it to the back. To his left, and it's sort of like a quick pitch from the shotgun.
And he's got a running back to his right and a running back behind the running back in that one of those formations.
This is sort of that wildcat formation.
Yep, and there it is. Yeah. On the other side, this will be a first down.
It reminds me of a single wing play where
he's
got a blocking back right up behind the lineman and
Andreas.
A lead back. So.
Andreas gets the first down to the 44. So now Danvers on the march. They will, let's say they started this drive at their own 34. This will be the seventh play of the drive for the Falcons, moving from left to right. Center Bruno Abatessa, he's 5'10", 265. Steve Goutsos, Marco Lagambina, Isaiah Clark, Zach Schutz up front. Smallest guy on the line is 185. Run play up the middle. Lynch, breaking a tackle, gets the first down all the way down to the 31 or 32-yard line.
Number six, Danny Lynch, with a 12-yard carry.
Appears to be like an isolation play. Just give the ball to the tailback with someone leading through the hole to block the linebacker.
9:40 left to go, first half, no score. Glad you are with us tonight. Game coming to you from Peabody, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. They're going to split Nestor out to the left side, running back to the left and right of Andreas in the shotgun. Gets the snap, handoff. No, he keeps it and runs into a player and still gets positive yardage off that left side inside the 30. Gets it to the 29.
Danvers light up at two tight ends and they and a flanker to the offensive left. And Peabody is really covering the outside guy, but they're not really covering the tight end of that side. They're overloading over here. Maybe it's a scouting report type thing where they have a tendency to run away from that tight end.
Second and seven. Andreas hands off to Lynch. Big hole right side. Close to the first down inside the 25 to the 22.
Well, those aren't options. You can tell he's just looking the ball into the pocket of the running back, so he's not reading anybody on those plays.
It's at the 21, gets the first down. First and 10 at the 21 for the Falcons. Lynch again looking for a hole, and this time he's going to be dropped after about a two-yard gain. Gets it to the 20, maybe just a one-yard gain. Second and nine, but Peabody being pushed backwards now as Danvers is driving. Now this will be the 11th play of this drive for the Danvers Falcons. Peabody had a 13-play drive they put together in the first quarter, but came up empty on a fourth and two. Inside the 8-minute mark, no score. But Danvers driving. Again, running back to the left and right of Andreas in the shotgun. And this is a handoff to Lynch. There is a hole. He loves to dive, Paul. He almost
I saw those in the films against Beverly.
Yeah, and he did that time. He loves to jump over people and almost landed on his head last week.
Well, once you, if you don't have either foot on the ground, you're at the mercy of the tackler because you've got no leverage. So you always try to keep at least one foot on the ground. You got some power behind you, but
he does get five, so it's third down and three. At the 15-yard line on the far hash mark with the clock moving. We're down to 7:17. Danvers breaking the huddle very slowly. Now, Falcons shift, overload the left side, so
this
unbalanced
is their
to the
power
left.
Play.
Yep, and Andrus is going to run that
it's
way.
Just very a lot of bodies.
Very successful last week. He's close to the first down.
Yeah, what they do is they line up with all their strength to the right, and they shift to the left, and it's just they outnumber the defense on that side and just run power.
Autumn leaves are falling. Did you see those flags fly well after the play? Now, referee going over to talk to the Danvers coaching staff. One of the assistants is gesturing pretty heatedly there. Unsportsmanlike conduct against Danvers. That's their second major penalty of the game.
You know, it might be 77 again, and he might be out of the game.
Well, we don't.
I mean, he's on the sideline.
Yeah.
They're talking to him.
I think they would have had close to the first down, but they're going to bring the ball back to the... It is a first down, so they bring it out to the 27. Well, you keep your eye on Clark, see if he comes back into the game.
Yeah, ball. They're talking to him over there, and they're
I don't think he was disqualified. 6:55 left to go, no score, but now it's a first and 10 backwards. Pass play, Andreas, just overthrows Kevin Moriarty at about the 17, incomplete. Yeah, and
he's back
yep,
in.
Isaiah Clark comes back into the game. So he'll return, probably chastised for something he may have said or may not have said. We don't usually give the numbers or names of penalty infractions, but he did go off after that call, and now he's back on the field. So it's second and 10 for Danvers, and they are at the 27-yard line of Peabody, still driving with 6:48 left to go in the second quarter. Peabody has not touched the ball in the second quarter. Run play, Andreas around that left end, tries to stiff arm a tackler and gets a few yards. Looked like DeMaio on the tackle, at least forcing Andreas out of bounds.
So it appears they got the first down, and then he had the penalty, right?
Right, they got...
That's
they
why
got,
the first down.
Correct,
yeah.
And they moved it back. Instead of first and 25, it's first and 10, I guess. I don't know how that works. We'll have to ask Phil about that at halftime. But ball is back to the... It's to the 21 right now, so it's a six-yard gain. And as it shows now, the markers are showing third and four. For Danvers, 6:42 left to go, no score, first half. Andreas runs with it up the middle and gets close to the first down. I think he's a little short.
Well, they just spread the whole defense out. They put 22 formation.
First down.
Two receivers split out wide to each side and only seven left in the box.
This will be the 16th play of this drive. And again, they started this with 53 seconds left to go back in the first quarter. So they're knocking on the door for over 5 minutes of time of possession. Wideouts left and right. Twins to the right for Andreas. Looking to his right. Hands off to Lynch, sweeping to his right.
Oh, nice
he
play.
Tries to jump again, and this time he's clobbered back at the 20-yard line.
Well, that was a sweep to the back, and... The split ender flanker didn't block the corner. The corner came up and made a great tackle.
No, Jake Daugherty, who made the tackle.
Nice play.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, I hate to see him jumping like that. That gives me the willies. Back at the 23-yard loss, second and 13. I'm running out of room here in my score sheet as we approach the 17th play of this drive. Second down 13, as we mentioned. Now we've got three receivers off to the far side left. Nestor is split to the right side. That's the near side. Andreas gets the snap, runs with it. Gets it outside, trying to turn the corner. Gets a block, cuts the corner, and goes out of bounds near the 10-yard line.
Well, he certainly knows how to use his blockers. He had a lead back in front of him, and he slowed down and set up the block for the back and got around the corner. So, third or fourth down, is it?
Should be third down, and they put it at
third
the
it was a big
the
play.
Nine. It's at the nine, which is weird. That makes it 11-yard. I'm all confused now. Third down and two. They're going to split Nestor out to the right. Third down. Andreas keeps it. Driven backwards. Don't know
now
if they got there or not.
That power formation and there was no hole.
Don't know if he got there.
I think they're saying fourth down.
Yeah, fourth down at the 9. Or at the 8, I guess it is. So this will be the 19th play of the drive. And we do have a timeout, which will give us a chance to remind you that this game is being brought to you by Moore GMC of Denver, serving the North Shore since 1969 at 84 High Street. See General Manager Jeff Klickstein. And by Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years at 557 Chestnut Street in Lynn. Or see HarringtonTrophy.com. Quality products and exceptional customer service. And you know what? If you got tax questions, estate questions, see my man, my friend, Attorney Robert J. Mandruga. See Bob for all your estate planning and tax preparation. Bob Mandruga in Gloucester. Well, Coach, this is reminiscent to the situation that Peabody
right,
had in the first
right.
quarter.
You're right. They've eaten up the clock, run a lot of plays, move through the defense, but you got to get it in that end zone to have it count.
19th play of
the
drive.
They're going to overload.
To the right?
To the right. Now they're going to shift, and they shift the lineman, too.
With Isaiah.
So now
Clark.
They're really overloaded.
Yep. Isaiah's the big man off there. They're going to go to the left. Andreas.
You know, I think he might have moved, right? Well, you got to be set for 1 second, and I'm not sure he got down because they shifted the tackle over, too. And you have to be set for 1 second before they can snap the ball, and he may not have been set.
Big penalty.
Mistake.
Big
yeah,
penalty,
that's
yeah.
a huge penalty because he had the first down.
That will bring the ball out to the 14, and so it'll be 4th and 7 for the first down, and of course 4th and 14 for the touchdown. No score as we approach the 4 minute mark. So Danvers has had the ball for 8 minutes now on this drive. Okay, we're going to split. We're going to use the field. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. Andreas to direct snap, rolling to his right, looking as though he's going to throw. Now he's going to run and go out of bounds. How about that?
Well, I think he's looking for Nestor, and you know that's probably his favorite receiver, and he wasn't open. And then PB put some pressure on him, and he just didn't find anybody and ran out of bounds.
Well, this is unbelievable. 50 total yards of offense for Peabody. And they had the ball for 19 plays and get 50 yards out of it. And for, I'm sorry, for Danvers, excuse me, 50 yards of offense for Danvers in this first half. Mm-hmm. 35 for Peabody. They take over with 3:41 left to go. Run play starting from their own 19.
And I'm... Santos.
Yeah, it is Santos getting 7 yards on the run play out to the 25. So second and 3 for Peabody with no score. No offense per se, although each team has had a long time of possession drive. Terrific defense in this one. D'Amato under center, hands it off. Hole on the left side. Santos trying to cut it outside. He gets the first down. And he's out of bounds near the 40.
Devin Santos on a 10-yard carry for PBD.
Set to 37, it looks like, right? 37, so about a 12-yard gain for Doug Santos. 3 minutes, clock moving, no score, terrific crowd, great night for football. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, Bill Newell, Tim Kearns over on Channel B. I formation stacked up behind D'Amato. Hand off to the first back. That's DeMeo bowling his way forward across the 40, out to the 43.
Well, Peabody's running an unbalanced line. They only have a guard and a tackle to left to center.
Second down and five
so
to go.
What that makes the defense do is they have to shift down one man. But you have to recognize it. It's unbalanced again.
Hand off this time to Santos, trying to go outside, being chased, but he breaks a tackle, gets away. There he goes down that right sideline, and out of bounds at the Peabody, check it, at the Danvers 40. Almost broke it.
one of the things that you have to do with a back like him is you can't let him bounce it out. So the contained man has to come up and has to keep him inside, because that's where all the bodies are going to come from for the tackle.
15-yard gain.
They're taking him out for a play here. Santos.
He carried the ball, last time, Paul, we were here, over 30 times, plus he returned punts, returned kickoffs,
yeah,
and played defense. Just immense. First and 10 for Peabody at the 43 of Danvers. Handoff to the tailback, breaks the tackle after he was stopped. And he's going to break it loose. He may go all the way down the left sideline. 20, 10, and it's going to be a touchdown for Okinawa.
Boy, he looked like he was stopped in the backfield and made some terrific moves.
42-yard touchdown for Okinawa, who was stopped in the backfield and then broke it. So we're talking five plays and 81 yards as Peabody gets on the board first. Terrific play by Okinawa. Second effort all the way. And then he showed some terrific speed once he got into that secondary. 81-yard, what was that, just a dive play?
I think it was off tackle, Rick, and
yeah,
he just broke some tackles with some good moves.
So we will try the 1 point after by D'Amato. It's a good hold, and I don't think he got it, though. Oh, it did. Line drive just inside that left crossbar. All right, so D'Amato adds the extra point. It is 7-0. Peabody leading this one. And Paul, a bit of a diverse offense so far for Peabody tonight, not relying just on Santos.
Well, yeah, and I think what they just decided to do was go unbalanced line and not spread people out and give him the ball and the fullback the ball. You know, what they're just saying is that we can get our offensive line is better than their defensive line.
And again, up front, they've got 205, 230, 180 for weight on the Danvers defense. And the offensive line, a couple of big guys, but not that big for Peabody. So we're inside the two-minute mark at 1:59. And it is 7-0, Peabody leading Danvers. Now the Tanners will kick off from right to left. And this is a short end-over-end kick that's going to come up. Touched the knee down, did Nestor, right at the 27 where he caught it. All right, so Danvers now will start at their own 27.
Well, I don't think they have enough time to make another 17-play drive, so...
Well...
See if they can be a little explosive here.
They scored 14 points a week ago on a win against Salem, and they did have, I think it was a 20-yard touchdown pass play.
I saw that. Well, Beverly, you mean.
Beverly, yeah, of course. Twins to the right, twins to the left. We've got Nestor split to the right with Lynch in the slot to the right, using the entire field. But now Lynch is in motion. Penalty before the play starts, so that's usually on the offense, and it is. Well, we've seen that more than ever this year, Paul.
What, the motion?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of these teams, there's timing involved. So, in other words, someone's in motion. He has to be right next to the quarterback when the ball snaps so the quarterback can fake to him. And a lot of times you have an unrhythmical cadence. So, in other words, there's a delay in it. And sometimes the linemen are better off with a rhythmical cadence.
I think you tried to explain that to me a few weeks ago. All right, anyway, Andreas rolling to his left, right-handed quarterback, sets, throws, downfield, intercepted at the 43-yard line by Peabody. Returned to the 35 and to about the 33.
Yeah, he really shouldn't have thrown that.
Cedric Gutierrez with the interception.
Two reasons. One, first, everyone was covered, and second, he went right, he rolled left. And throwing back across the field is a hard thing to do, and you're not going to be real accurate. And the ball was in the air for a long time, too.
Total offense for Danvers in the first half, 45 yards. Peabody now up to 114 as we have a timeout for the Danvers Falcons. with 1:34 left to go, first half. Gutierrez
see if Peabody takes advantage. There's a lot of times a turnover like that, especially at this section of the field and the time. They might try for a big play.
And you always hear how crucial it is for a team to score at the end of the half, what it does psychologically or at the end of at the end of a game.
Yeah.
So,
plus it looks like it's not going to be a high scoring game. So if you can get more points, you can get on certainly here before halftime. Be a lot more comfortable with two touchdown lead than one.
So the ball will be at the 33-yard line of Danvers with Peabody taking over.
Peabody takes over. First and 10 from the Danvers 33-yard line.
So it's at the 33, first and 10, 1:34 left to go first half. We're back in action. D'Amato hands it off to the tailback. That's got to be Santos plowing his way forward down to the 25-yard line.
Well, it's a different philosophy now. It's unbalanced line, so they have everybody, just about everybody to the left of the center on that one. They were unbalanced left, and they're just, Danvers just isn't adjusting real well to it.
Santos, handoff. Sweeping to the right.
Yeah.
Outside, close to the first down, and I think he went out of bounds. They do stop the clock.
Yeah, he bounced it out, and I think he got the first down. Yes, he did.
And that's enough for Peabody.
And he stopped the clock. So it's at the 23. And Santos now, they're riding Santos. D'Amato gets the play from the sideline along with Okinawa back into the huddle.
So it looks like they're taking the tight end and putting him over to one side, to which leaves just a guard and tackle. Is this unbalanced again?
High formation.
Yes, it is.
Behind the quarterback with a wing to the left. DeMeo gets the handoff, goes off tackle right side for positive yardage, but
yeah.
Clock now a factor.
Well, what's good about that play is they ran away from the unbalance, which so they won't be predictable.
It's at the 20, so it's a 3-yard gain, and there is a timeout. Interesting first half, Coach. 48 seconds left.
Yeah, it's funny. You just never know what's going to happen. You think it might be a high-scoring half, and it's not. And although they've moved the ball, both teams have moved the ball very mm-hmm. well. But like I say, it's getting in that end zone that counts.
Second and 7 with 48 seconds left to go first half. Peabody leading 7-0. As a result of the...
That's a little bit different.
Okinawa, yeah, three receivers off to the left. And I think we'll have a timeout now for Danvers.
Yeah, Danvers, it's a formation, trips on one side. And, Santos in the backfield by himself.
We'll have this game on demand shortly after the game tonight, somewhere before midnight. It'll be up there. You'll be able to listen to this game. You'll also be able to listen to Channel B. But right now, just check out the video here as we... have our streamographer, Alex Sanfilippo, up on the roof doing this one. And the game brought to you by the Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli, along with the Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn, combining with Lynn Arts, a vibrant cultural center in downtown Lynn. Check them out at lynnmuseum.org.
Now he's got Santos in the slot formation.
So you'll be looking for him. D'Amato throws it underneath. It
yeah.
is complete. Short gain to Santos inside the 20, clock still moving. He didn't get out of bounds.
No, he didn't. They just ran him on a quick out and tried to get him the ball in space. But Danvers is well defensed.
All right, it's to the 17, another 3-yard gain. So it'll be 3rd and 4 with 37 seconds left on the clock. So I'm sure
yeah,
that...
Do they have 3 timeouts left, I believe?
I didn't keep them, Paul, in the first half.
Well, it looks like the scoreboard has it.
Oh, you're right.
Well, Peabody has one timeout left, so.
Okay. All right, so here we go. Peabody knocking on the door with only 37 seconds left and a one-touchdown lead. I formation. There's Santos with a handoff looking for a hole. Gets it and goes down close to the 10.
Well, that'll stop the clock when they adjust the stakes, so. They stop the clock at 31 seconds, but it'll start right up again. Well, they called timeout there. I guess that's their last.
Timeout on the field.
All right, ball is at the 11-yard line. Wow, 31 seconds left. Now they've got the workhorse, of course, in Santos, who can get you short yardage and he can get you long yardage. And, of course, Danvers knows that, but you just had this earlier touchdown on a brilliant run by Okinawa for, I got him for 81 yards, but that wasn't right. How long was that touchdown run?
It was 42. About 40 yards.
42 yards.
Yeah, now, if they're out of timeouts, you got to call a couple of plays here, and either that or you got to get up and spike the ball if you don't get it. Now, they can get a first down.
You practice that now? You practice spiking the ball and so on?
You practice everything. Yeah, you practice everything.
You practice everything, like the swinging...
Well, situations like this.
The swinging gate formation?
Yes, you do.
You do. Well, you do it in high school. I've seen it in high school.
Yeah, I mean, that was what the Colts ran against the Patriots is basically water bucket, it's called in high school football. They call it water bucket. And usually you do it for an extra point. But they, they tried it out there, and I guess the guy who snapped the ball didn't practice it, and he shouldn't have snapped it because certainly the Patriots covered it well. But yeah, these situations, they probably will throw the ball. They got Santos out again.
Yep, he's off
so
to the left.
Stop the clock.
Damato looking to the left, being pursued, complete, and down to about the 1 yard line.
So
nice catch to Daugherty.
Get up,
clock moving.
What you
no,
wanted.
It stopped at 20 seconds. Is who took time out?
Well, someone's hurt.
Oh,
I think it's a Peabody player, and I'm not sure if they stopped the clock because of timeout, because of injury.
It's not a first down.
No, it's not.
It's close, but not quite there. The ball is at. Looks like it's at the 4.
So
can't tell that. Let's see where the yard marker is. 5. Well, maybe it's at the 3. So it'll be a second down and 1 for the first down. It looks like 3 for the touchdown. But there is an injured player, and so we're going to pause here. As 20 seconds showing on the clock. What is it? Oh, it is? Yep. So Daugherty may, with the catch, getting him down to the 3.
Well, he's getting up now.
And it is Daugherty.
It should be interesting to find out. I mean, get those guys up on the line of scrimmage, because if that clock starts, you want to get you want to be up on the line when it starts.
All right, now we're going to have the clock stopped. With a
timeout.
By Peabody. So the tension mounts with 20 seconds left to go. It's a second down and 1 for the first down. I think they've got to go 3 for the for the touchdown. Might be a little outside the 3. And it has been tense. The turnover could come back to haunt Danvers. Peabody trying to make a statement here and certainly turn that into points. But a terrific first
depends
down.
Depends on how many timeouts they have left. But if they don't have any left, they probably got to throw the ball or make sure the play is going to get in the end zone, because they probably won't get another opportunity.
Well, I'm going to bet on Santos. But you're the coach. I think, you know.
Yeah,
whenever they beat
it
3 yards.
You're going to run the ball, obviously, you're going to run it with him.
Right.
But
well,
I just don't know if they have another timeout.
Right. I didn't keep them, so I don't know. All right, so here we go. Peabody coming up to the line of scrimmage. Danvers huddling on the far side with Coach Terrio. Now they're coming back onto the field. 20 seconds left to go. Second and 1 for the first
down. They're back to the unbalanced line, and they've been running off tackle to it.
In the eye.
And they're going to run it again.
Santos, he stopped before he can get in. He didn't make it, so there is a timeout.
Okay, they did have another timeout.
Yep.
Yeah, Danvers closed that down pretty good.
Now, looks like it's no gain. See if they move the sticks on the far side. They're going to put it at the 3. So, call it no gain. And it'll be still 3rd and 1 for the first down. But that's academic with 11 seconds. What do you got, 1 play left?
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know why. Well, I guess it's pretty hard to tell. You know, when you don't have a hash mark to go by, and they didn't because they were way over on the sideline here, whether it's a first down or not. But
ball is inside the three.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's
I would have had it measured. Look at that. I mean,
right. It's right up against
it. You can request a measurement.
Hmm. Yeah, you
might
can
be
see
irrelevant, like you say, but with the time, but.
Yeah, you know, really, whether you got they got two downs to play with, but you only have 11 seconds, and even if it's a first down, you still only have 11 seconds. So here we go, 11 seconds left. DeMaio will be the fullback. Santos is the tailback.
It's unbalanced again. But
Darty is
in the I formation. They might run the fullback.
Darty's back in the game.
No.
Second back, Santos.
Good play by Danvers.
Clobbered, swarmed. Clock is stopped with 5 seconds left because I think he got the first down. He did. So Santos got the first down. 5 seconds left to go. One more play. D'Amato on the center. Hands it off to Santos. Trying to get outside. He does! Touchdown, Santos! No time left on the clock. Wow.
Boy, they had him in the backfield, too.
So he got the first down with 5 seconds left. They stopped the clock to move the chains right back up there. Santos breaks a tackle. Gets into the end zone from a yard away. It's 13-0. Peabody, wow. And they did make Danvers pay as a result of the interception. So good heavens, 9 plays, 33 yards for Peabody. They're up 13-0 after the interception. No time left on the clock. Going to try to put some stats together and talk with Phil Brody at halftime. An official with the MIAA not working a game tonight. All right, so D'Amato will try the point after. Just squeezed it inside the left upright on the first touchdown. Waiting for the snap. It is good, and this one looks like it's true. It is 14-0 at the half. Peabody leading this one, so we'll take our break. We'll come back with our halftime information for you. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com. At the half, it's Peabody 14 and Danvers nothing.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
This is MoreStuffOnline.com, the halftime show, brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
14-0 at the half, Peabody leading Danvers in a surprise score, if you will, and we'll get to the stats later on. But now it's becoming a habit. Phil Brody up here. Phil, a referee with the MIAA, kept the clock last week over at Fenwick for the Danvers-Beverly game. I got to get this right. I don't even know where I am sometimes. Anyway, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
But you're not refereeing tonight. What's going on?
Torn ligament in my foot, so I'm just going to observe tonight.
So you're on the IR now?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it?
Yep. The wife thought I was going to go to the mall, but I told her not until after Thanksgiving.
Did you have a game scheduled for tonight originally?
No, actually, tonight was an off night. Tomorrow
okay.
I'm at Whittier.
Okay.
In the morning, and then I have Beverly and Classical, both clocks,
okay.
but Beverly and Classical at 5:30 at Endicott.
All right, I got a referee question I got to ask you
sure.
in a minute here, but first, your thoughts on this game. We saw Danvers last week in a defensive struggle against Beverly play so well. The line play for Danvers was terrific in a very tough game, and more of the same here tonight, but they're not getting on the scoreboard.
It's somewhat of a dichotomy. Danvers.
Wait, this is football.
Okay. I shouldn't go with those words.
Jeez.
Okay. Okay. It almost seems like the turning point was on that 21-play drive. Once Peabody stopped them, they got the momentum. They moved the ball right down the field. And then, obviously, the interception. If I had to do an analogy, it's almost Danvers, although I'm not taking anything away from Peabody, Danvers is almost playing the same type of game that Beverly played last week. They're here, but they're not sort of here.
We got a sense of urgency. We still have a whole half to go, obviously,
right.
And Danvers vying for that number one seed in Division
right.
Three. So they want that, I'm sure, and they want to win this game. I do want to ask you about a question. Back in the first half, mm-hmm. Danvers had the ball. They go down. They get inside the 10. Get a first down. After the play, there's an unsportsmanlike conduct call against them. They get pushed back 15 yards, and it's a first and 10. So please explain that.
Right. That's a dead ball foul.
Mm-hmm.
So they made the line to gain, or they made the first down.
Okay.
And then it becomes a spot foul from the spot of the foul. So you make the first down, but then you move them back. And then you do. So in other words.
So it's not first and 25, it's first and 10.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's. Yeah, that's it's. They used to do it that way, but they change it. I think the one thing that we've been more vigilant on and have been to look for is on dead ball fouls is unsportsmanlike conduct.
Right, right.
So you'll always notice that the officials will be writing down numbers and then talking to the kids.
Yep.
And talking to the coaches saying, Coach so-and-so has one unsportsmanlike conduct, one more, and he may be out of the game.
We talked about that last week, and we did see that going on tonight. We saw the referee, and Dick Sawchuk used to send me the names of the officials, and I don't have them tonight.
Okay.
But we did see the referee go over and talk to the coaching staff as
right.
well. And also we noticed, and Paul mentioned the kid's name, but we also saw, we think the kid who caused the infraction went out of the game, was talked to by the coaches, and then he came back in. And
right.
and you know, it is high school, and as we said before, it's a teachable moment. But this is an extension of high school. This is an extension of what kids are learning, and so this is also a classroom in effect.
Correct. You know, we try to do preventive maintenance on the field. We talked about this last week about the interaction. You know, we're always constantly talking to the players about, you know, how they're playing and what they should do, what they shouldn't do, what to look out for, what to look for. We have a lot of conversation with the coaches during the game. So, and we always go, we try to, The main word is consistency. We try to be consistent mm-hmm. with the kids and be consistent with the coaches and be consistent with our calls. So if we're not going to call an offsides in the first quarter,
okay.
we're certainly not going to call it on a very important drive in the fourth quarter.
So there is a little leeway, much as you'd see a baseball umpire with a strike zone type thing. Certain little things, you get into a groove and the kids can adjust to that.
Exactly. Oh, cool. So you want to, from an official standpoint of view, we want to be part of the game, but we don't want to be in the game.
Right.
You know, the game isn't about us. It's about the young athletes.
Well, and I know you love it. It's part of the little boy in us, I guess, to
yes,
keep doing this
yes.
at our age, and we
yeah.
do love it. And, I'm still 19 inside.
Right.
It just doesn't go away.
Well,
so, my wife sometimes like that, and sometimes
right.
she doesn't.
Well, yeah, it's true that sometimes I've been known to, in a game in Pentucket a few years ago, I've been known to fall in the mud, just the heck of it near the end of the game, and all of a sudden I lost 50 years.
Doing a mud angel, yeah.
Right.
Phil Brody is our guest. He's an official with the MIAA on the North Shore. Phil, a couple of years ago, we did Andover-Gloucester, and Andover was a powerhouse in Division One at that time. They're still a powerhouse, but they played that year. They played a game that was the highest scoring high school football game in the country ever, I believe. It was
really?
5, 6, 7 overtimes. Mm-hmm. 88-86, I think, was the final score. I'm talking to Coach E.J. Perry about that game. It still brings back a big smile on my face when I think
right.
about it. Crazy game. Have you ever been involved in anything really strange, long, or weird, in your career that comes to mind?
Yes, and believe it or not, it wasn't in high school. It was in Pop Warner. It was probably one of the most, believe it or not, that's where some of the greatest games are. It was very electrifying. It was in Methuen. We had Everett and Methuen, and it went into 4 overtimes, and it was one of these games that I filled in on a weeknight at 6 o'clock, and I came home after midnight. I was drained. But, it's one of those, you drive home, and you're talking to yourself, saying, what a great
yeah,
game.
Yeah.
And that's what you love about the game.
Now, are there teams of officials who work together that, I'm sure that you work together better with some than you do with others. Everybody has to get along. But there are some you can just slide in side by side, and you know what the other guy's going to do.
Oh, yeah.
How everybody's going to work.
Right, exactly. You get to know the personalities and their movements. And now, for example, our even in working the clock last week, I knew the referee, and I know he's a deliberate winder on first downs,
okay.
on winding the clock. Tonight, you have Donnie Werner as the head referee, probably the best we call the hat, the referee mm-hmm. on the North Shore, without a doubt.
The hat. I got to use that.
Yeah,
all right, so, I like that.
Yeah, if somebody says
okay.
they're the hat.
Okay, I like that.
You're the referee. If you're a wingman, you're a lineman.
You know, it's funny. As a sports fan, you think you stay up with things, and then, like, over the years, all the terms change. All the football is pretty much the same,
right.
but what you call it changes, and it's like trying to keep up with that stuff. It's like trying to keep up with technology.
Right. We were having conversations today about football stayed the same. Obviously, times have changed, and, as I discussed with a number of coaches, it isn't a... I'm used to in the 60s, the coach came to the game in a sports coat and a tie.
Oh, yeah.
But now you're a coach, you're part parental mentor, disciplinarian. So, you wear many hats.
A lot of coaches are surrogate fathers to some of these kids. And,
right.
As a longtime teacher, there are some teachers who, begrudgingly... let kids or want kids to play sports,
right.
but I've seen it as a lifesaver in many situations.
Right.
Kids only go to school to play sports. Great, but they're in school.
Right,
they're there.
Right. Yeah, and you learn. And I gave an emotional pep talk a number of years ago to my alma mater, Chelsea High, and in the locker room, I said, pay attention in the classroom, because after the last field goal, after the last basket, after the last home run, you have your education,
mm-hmm.
and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, make the most of the time that you have on the field and off the field.
Absolutely. So. Well, Phil, any final thoughts here before I let you go and we get back to business?
Just looking for another competitive half. Don't count the Falcons out. You know, they're right in the, you know, they're right in the hunt.
Yep.
And Sunday morning, I'll try to figure out where I'm going to be next week with the playoff format. So,
yeah, I need to take a course on trying to how to figure it out. Gloucester football coach Tony's really tried to explain it to me this week, and I got a headache. Said, never mind, forget it.
Well, don't do it because they're going to change the format next year. I just read about that.
Really?
Yes, they're going to make more divisions.
Oh, that's right.
They're going to have less teams from per league, but more divisions.
And the playoff format will be similar to what it is now?
Yes. So to save
ourselves. Disappointed.
Yeah.
Okay.
So to save ourselves from headaches.
Okay. Thanks, Phil.
Okay,
I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
All right, that's
it.
Phil Brody, who is an MIAA official, a referee on the sidelines this week. Appreciate his coming by. We're going to take a break. A couple of minutes left before we start the second half. Peabody leading this one by a score of 14-7. So hang in there with us. We'll be right back.
This is MoreStuffOnline.com, the halftime show, brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, folks, this is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B, average, or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay, we're back getting ready to start the second half as the Peabody Tanners come back onto the field. Danvers has already returned. A couple of statistics of note. Doug Santos, of course, the leading ground gainer in this ball game, 16 carries for 69 yards and one touchdown. The Danvers Falcons have amassed a total of 45 yards of offense in the first half. Peabody has 147, and the Tanners are leading by a score of 14-0. It was Ugi Okinawa scoring from 42 yards out with a minute and 59 seconds left to go in the first quarter to give Peabody the 7-0 lead. And then Santos extended the lead with no time remaining on the clock. An exciting finish to the first half after an interception by Peabody. And D'Amato has added both extra points. 14-0 is where we stand. Now Danvers will get the ball to start the second half, and they'll be going from left to right.
Well, Rick, I think what's happened here is that Peabody has just said our offensive line is better than yours, so they've gone to a tight, unbalanced formation and just running fullback dive and off tackle. And Danvers is probably more of a finesse team, and they've got to get it together and get the ball in the end zone. And they've got to stop Peabody and Santos and come up, at halftime, come up with something to take that unbalanced line away.
Opening kickoff comes to the 30-yard line, taken there by Nestor of Danvers, and he gets 3-yard line. Ooh, he gets 3 yards, I should say, on the return to the 33. Went down awkwardly, but he's okay. So Danvers starts right away at their own 34-yard line is where it begins for the Falcons. down 14-0, 10:55 left to go in the third quarter. In other words, we're just underway. Matt Andreas is the quarterback. Matt Andreas. Bruno Abatessa is the center. Steve Gutsos, Marco Lagambina, Isaiah Clark, Zach Schutz up front for the Danvers Falcons. Danny Lynch in the backfield along with Andreas. Lynch gets the handoff and gets some experience. Not much more.
No.
They are saying no gain. Eric DeMeo with the tackle. DeMeo's played a monster game on offense and defense, Paul, as a fullback and as a sometime running back, but also as a linebacker. He's a sophomore, 5'11", 210.
Good future ahead.
You think? All right. So Falcons are going to split out Zach Turner to the right side. He's a junior. And Andreas keeps the ball on a running play. Gets out to the 39, maybe the 40.
Kind of interesting, Rick, is to see, you know, how the philosophy will change in the second half and, you know, what will teams do differently, especially if things aren't going well.
I've asked you about it before, Paul, and in terms of adjustments, are there sort of adjustments in your pocket that you go to from time to time, or is it all on the fly, or is it not at all? We'll ask.
Well, okay. We'll
yeah, I'll get to, after the play, let me I'll get back to that. Andreas on the third down and about four, rolling to his right, throws it complete to Nestor for the first down at the 40. Well, they give him a terrible spot at the 45. He caught it at the 47, but they put it back to the 45. Anyway, what about those adjustments?
Well, you know, at halftime, you know, you can't do anything too dramatic. I mean, there's only so much you can do. But at halftime, you know, we used to just get their alignment, and I would talk to the players about, you know, what are they doing? I mean, who's making all the tackles? And then you just maybe change your blocking to account for that person who's making the tackles to make sure you get a body on him.
Turner and Nestor split to the left side. Andreas hands off to Lynch off of right tackle. And he is straight up dancing toward the 50, but then driven backwards, stopped at the 49.
I mean, you can't abandon ship either. I mean, you can't just say your offense. I mean, your offense is your offense, but, you know, you just make some minor adjustments, especially in high school football. You can't do anything really too major. And hopefully the kids listen, and hopefully they execute and make the changes on the field. That's another thing, too, is you can tell them. I used to make them repeat the changes so that I made sure they knew this is what we're going to do.
All right, Andreas keeps it on the option or the run play design, and he gets close to the first down to the Danvers side of the 50 to the 46.
I think you got to also give Peabody defense laurels for their play. I mean, they haven't given up anything really big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Danvers is going to, you know, they've proven they can move the ball against a lot of teams, but they seem to, you know, they're making them work for every first down.
So we're on the initial drive of the third quarter. Danvers starting this after the kickoff at their 34, sixth play of the drive. They have a third and two, or third and one, from the 46. They just need to get it just inside the 45 of Peabody. So we've got a tight formation this time. Unbalanced to the right. Andreas following the blockers gets the first down and gets bumped after that at the 42.
That's Peabody blitz into it, but the blitzer got through, but he wasn't able to make the tackle.
So it's about a four-yard gain with the first down for Andreas, and so Peabody continues to drive. They need to finish one of these off, Paul.
Well, yeah, I think this is important that they score in this possession. Well, at least, you know, move the ball down and get put Peabody in tough field position.
14-0 is the score. Peabody scoring at the end of the first half with no time remaining to get that second touchdown. Andreas gets a direct snap. This time he hands it off to Lynch. He's got a big hole. He gets into the defensive backfield down to the 30 and pretty much a saving tackle by Cedric Gutierrez, who had the interception. Looked like that one was going to go for big yardage. Got 12 as it is. 7 minutes left to go, third quarter. So again, a time of possession drive for Danvers. They've had it for over 4 minutes now. They're moving from left to right, and they're all white uniforms with the blue trim. Got the big tight end, Kevin Moriarty, on the right side. And Andreas runs to the right, then cuts it back to the middle, following blockers, moves the pile, and again gets positive yardage to the 23.
Right. You're right there, Rick. He did move the pile. They got in a bunch, and they must have gone another 5 yards.
Yeah, it looked like he was going to stop for maybe 2 yards, and he gets 7. So it's second down and about 3 on the near hash mark. Again, Peabody moving from left to right. Last time they got down closer than this, had a devastating penalty against them. But this time they're looking like they're operating on all cylinders. Shotgun once again for Andreas with two guys to the left, but he keeps it, goes forward for the first down inside the 20 to the 18.
Well, the Damers is doing a good job calling plays. You know, they're patient. And, you know, I always said just try to get first downs, and eventually you'll get a touchdown.
Bring it back to the 19 instead of the 18.
They're not doing much laterally. Everything's straight ahead.
And that's what they did last week against Beverly, just right up the middle all the time.
Yeah.
All right, so again, two receivers off to the left. Danvers with the Peabody rider with a four down lineman on defense. Hand off to Lynch, right side. Forward momentum and forward yardage inside the 15. Peabody's saying they took the ball away. Frank Falco comes out of the pile. But it's going to be forward progress for Peabody. Lynch, now Peabody right Danvers right back to the line of scrimmage with the ball at the 15. So it's a 4 yard gain. Second and 4. Hand off Lynch. Same play up the middle. He's going to go into the end zone. Touchdown!
Well, it's funny. It's almost like Danvers is saying, our offensive line is better than your defensive line. Now, it's kind of a reversal of roles here. Because they ran between the tackles the whole way down.
Biggest drive of the night, 11 plays and 66
yards.
Well, here's
your Baltimore Colts water bucket.
Oh, here it is. We've got the center on the right side of the field, the entire line off to the left, but now they're going to shift into the center. And David Zebek is the kicker. He's a junior, 5'10", 160. The holder is Andreas. 14-6 is the score. Peabody leading. And this kick is good. So it's 14-7. Danvers is on the board. So 11 plays and 66 yards for the Danvers Falcons.
Well, that's big for Danvers. And no penalties, right, Rick?
Right, no penalties on that drive. That was a nice, clean 11-play drive. Finished off by that nice 15-yard touchdown run by Danny Lynch. And he turned the Jets on once he got past the line of scrimmage. So, it is, let's see, 5:01. They had the ball for 6 minutes. 1 second shy of 6 minutes. And Danvers has cut the score to 14-7. As we move along in this one. Scores for Peabody in the first half. Oogie Okinawa, 42-yard run. Doug Santos, a 1-yard run. And I want to remind you that this game is brought to you in part by Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance for complete peace of mind. And the Porthole Restaurant of Lynn. Try their award-winning clam chowder. The Porthole provides a great dining value, combining quality with quantity, a North Shore dining landmark located on the water on the Lynnway in Lynn. Kickoff. High end-over-end kick coming down to the Peabody 20-yard line. Returnable by Santos to the 25, to the 30, and across the 30 to the 34.
It was 23, Rick.
23, not 32. Okay, so that
sure
was
even Santos was back there.
Cam Cordero, he is listed as a captain. He's a senior. So Cordero gets the ball on a nice return to the 30. Penalty? He got it to the 34, but let's see what the hat says as Phil Brody calls the referee. Personal foul. I didn't see it, but that's not good. So Peabody will start at their 23, it looks like. I think I say it's at the 22, okay. So it's first and 10 for Peabody as they haven't touched the football yet here in the second half. This is a pitch to Santos. He goes down after a very short gain. if anything. Yep, they give them a yard to the 23.
Maybe Sanford's on a carry. I don't know if we're getting second and 10.
So it's second and 9. Ball in the near hash mark as Peabody is moving from right to left. And Danvers scoring on its first possession in the second half. And now it's Peabody's turn to try to do something with the ball. 14-7 is our score. It's been that close all the way. Santos is the deep back behind DeMayo. And it's a handoff to DeMayo. Who,
it's interesting. They
goes right up the middle.
They were successful running that unbalanced line, you know, think the end over and the wing to the strong side. And they haven't run that formation, this these two plays to start out.
Okay, it's at the 27, so it's about a four-yard gain, making it third down. And about six to go for the first down. Clock moving at 3:47. And again, Peabody's initial possession of the second half. D'Amato, the quarterback, DeMayo, the fullback. Okinawa in motion, right up the middle, look out, there he goes, 40, 50, and hauled down at the 45-yard line. Breaking it was Doug Santos, exploding out of the backfield.
Doug Santos with a 35-yard carry.
Like he was shot out of a cannon.
Well, that's right, Rick. I mean, he hits the line at full speed. I mean, he's got a great first step and second step.
27 yards, just like that. From the, they get it to the Danvers 46-yard line, first and 10 for Peabody. Handoff this time, Okinawa trying to cut it outside. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. Down to the back to the line of scrimmage. That's it. Running laterally. Well, I can't believe how quickly he got into the backfield. Santos just bang.
I mean, you can only hold blocks for so long, and to have a back hit the hole like that that quickly. I mean, it's much easier on the offensive line because those holes open and close real quick. But he certainly hits the line of scrimmage at full speed.
We're down at 2:37 in the third quarter. It's a 14-7 lead for Peabody as Danvers has just scored with Danny Lynch scoring from 15 yards out. Ball on the far hash mark. Second and 10. Santos spinning. And squirreling his way forward to the 42 of Peabody.
That was interesting. Danvers has a four-deep secondary, and the safety was covering the slot receiver over here. And before the ball was snapped, he just went right up the line of scrimmage. And it's almost like saying, you're just not going to throw the ball, so we're going to have that eighth man come up on the line.
I think we've had a total of three passes tonight, maybe two. And that's been it. Everything's been on the ground game. And you remember the days of Art Adamopoulos and Ed Nizwintowski here at Peabody.
Yeah.
Just running the ball. I formation all night long.
This is balance, though. This is that formation, but they're balanced. They got two tight ends.
All right. We got to keep track of the timeouts this time. So Peabody takes this timeout, first of the second half, obviously. And we need to take a quick break, Paul. We'll do this right now and then come right back. 14-7, Peabody.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
We're back with a run play to Santos. Doesn't get much. Gets to the 40 on a third down play. Or was that DeMayo?
No, I believe Santos, it was Santos. Yeah.
Santos, yeah.
So fourth and about four.
Right, and when you're on the side of the field, Paul, it's you got four downs to play with, yes? You don't punt from here?
No, I would punt from here.
You would?
Yes. I mean, Danvers
field
just
position.
Moved the ball all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is fourth and four. There's not a lot of plays that you guaranteed to go 4 yards. I mean,
okay.
But that's not my decision.
All right, three receivers to the right, one to the left, one man in the backfield. And Santos, I got to say, I'm sorry, but he left half an hour early. And so they'll bring it back. He had to go catch a plane, I guess. I can say that because he's such a great player. Everybody occasionally...
it looked like a pass play because he was running a pass route.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was kind of shocked at that. I thought they, you know, he might end up carrying the ball.
Well, now Coach Betancourt will punt.
Yeah. I mean, giving Danvers the ball here in the short field, and they just went down and scored, and you weren't able to stop them, make a longer field. You know, so maybe this is going to work out better for Peabody because...
Well, there you go. It could.
Yeah, maybe that penalty was a good thing.
Looks like Rainer Alvarez will kick.
Oh.
Nice punt. Going to be caught at the 20 by Lynch to the 25, reverses field, and he's driven back to the 20. So they'll give him the 23 for progress.
And a one-yard game.
Boy, that looked like it was going to be blocked.
So it's first down for the Danvers Falcons, and they scored on their prior possession, and they're starting from their own 24, according to the scoreboard clock. I can't see what the ball is. Looks like it's a 23. I'm going to call it the 23. First and 10 from their 23.
Right. For I think they're going to change the... is it going to be the quarter?
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
End of three. Peabody leading this one by a score of 14-7. Going to be an interesting finish coming up.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on November 3rd, and I approve this message.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
All right, here we go. Fourth quarter coming up. It is first down for Danvers at their own 23. What was that? That was a shift of everybody going in different directions. Cowabunga. And before the play gets underway,
they can shift. They're allowed to shift. They never put their hand on the ground, so they can shift. And it's not an easy call here because Peabody went offside, but Danvers is allowed to shift.
See, that's why I thought everybody crossing the line of scrimmage there. So we'll see what the hat says on this one. We're going to have an illegal procedure call against Danvers.
Yeah, I just heard that when they shifted, someone tripped over the ball.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought they crossed the line of scrimmage. That's what I was saying. It looked kind of weird. Looked like Danvers crossed the line of scrimmage while they were shifting.
Yeah.
I didn't see...
Can't get those linemen to do too much,
No. All right, so it moves the ball back to the 18 after the procedure call. Danvers has it at their own 18. Second possession of the half. They had it for the majority of the third quarter. All right, there's the shift again. They're moving everybody over to the right side. D'Amato is the quarterback in the shotgun with a running back behind him, and they're going to call another procedure call against Danvers. Move it back another 10.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is, you know...
We don't mention who causes the infraction is bad enough.
Well, you know, what they do is they... A lot of teams will try to match up certain offensive linemen with certain defensive linemen. So what happens is Danvers is shifting the left side to the right side and the right side to the left side, probably looking for a better matchup. But
why not just go there?
Well, they want... You're right, Rick.
Okay, thanks. I don't know. First and 20. Run play. Lynch, right side, close to the 19.
Well, if you just go there, they're just going to line up there, where if you shift, you probably won't get the defense to the shift defensive lineman. So
It is to the 18, and so it's a five-yard gain, making it second and 15. Ball on the far hash mark. Now the clock is moving. We're in the fourth quarter. It's 14-7. Peabody leading this one. Okinawa Santos, touchdowns in the first half. Lynch for Danvers, touchdown in the second, 14-7. D'Amato is the quarterback. I'm sorry, it is Andreas, the quarterback, in the shotgun, looking to throw, unleashes it down the right sideline, intended for Nestor at the 45, covered nicely by the Danvers D, and it's incomplete.
That was a very good play by the defensive back for Peabody. He kept him right on the sideline, so there's no real place that you can throw the ball in there.
What was the number? Did you catch the number?
I think it was 23.
Okay, let me just mention the kid's name. It's Cam Cordero.
When you throw a streak down the sideline, the receiver never wants to be on the sideline. He wants to have room for the quarterback to put the ball in. And he just kept his butt on him and kept him right on the line. There was just no place to throw the ball.
Andreas wants to throw again on 3rd and 16. Down the sideline again. Spiral pass caught. At the 47-yard line by Nestor.
He dropped it.
Yeah, he dropped it in when he went down.
He really got hit hard. 20, 23 again.
Cordero.
He took a real shot to the head.
Yeah, you don't want to see that.
Yeah, well, his helmet's off.
Do not want to see that.
Boy, someone should go over there.
Yeah, let's get some help over there, guys. Come on, hold on. Time out.
No trainer.
Yeah.
Oh, there she is.
Nestor is not feeling well.
No. It was, he caught the ball, and then he just got hammered.
All right, now they're giving him some assistance. That's a scary play, Paul.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, he's up, and he's putting his helmet back on, so that's good.
Well, there's a whole format you go through now. Yep. I mean, you just don't put your helmet on and go back in. They'll check him out.
Right.
And if they find that he has any signs of a concussion, they take his helmet away so he can't get back in the game. Because a lot of them, you know, you let them keep their helmet. Next thing you know, they're back out there. They just take and put themselves back out there. So you have to take the helmet away.
Well, that's what it used to be. Shake it off, get the smelling salts, and get back out there.
Mm-hmm.
But we know better now. Okay, so the net result is that there was a timeout. I'm guessing that was assessed to Danvers. And now it's a fourth down and 16 as a result of the play by Cordero, the defensive play, two in a row on Nestor. And a very pretty pass, too, Paul. Perfect
yeah, it
spiral.
Was perfect. I mean, what's important is you threw a good ball that the kid could catch it, but it was just well-timed by the defender.
Looks like Andreas, no, it's number 40 kicking it away. Kind of hit at the 47 of Peabody and stop right there.
And well, that wasn't a very good sequence of downs by Danvers.
You know, no, surprisingly.
And
Tom Dempsey with the kick. Yeah, I'm surprised at that, and the penalty certainly put them in the hole as they had a net 5 yards on that possession, bringing them back down 106 total, 165 total for Peabody. And now 9:57 left to go in the fourth quarter as Peabody takes over. I think their best field position of the night, with the exception of the interception. They're at their own 46.
Now they're back to the unbalanced formation.
And it's the second back, Santos. There he goes, 40, 30, turning the Jets on, 20, 10. See you later, touchdown, Santos. First play from scrimmage, covering 54 yards.
Well, what was impressive about that play is he broke through the line, and Lynch was there to tackle him, and he, at full speed, he threw a move on Lynch, and then he outran Lynch. I mean, Lynch is pretty fast, too, because he was looked like he was closing a little, but
wow.
You know, to make a cut at full speed like that's it's a gift.
And that increases the Peabody lead to 20-7. One play, Santos gone. And Santos now, let's see, 27, 31, 33, 87, 126 yards for Santos. All right, this is going to be a two-point conversion attempt.
Well, the ball got blocked.
Yeah,
and one of the Danvers
returned,
but caught it in the air
and
then
stopped.
It hit the ground and got about 10 yards, and that's it.
So the kick fails. And as I understand it, Paul, this is the first time this year that Danvers has given up a 100-yard runner.
Right,
all season long.
Paper,
so
yeah.
Santos is over 100.
Yeah.
He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 carries. So he's got 21 carries for 126 yards, 2 touchdowns. And that's a familiar refrain, but usually you say that in the first half.
Well, I mean, watching the games I've watched, I mean, he's probably the fastest back, you know. I mean, his ability to get fast quick. And, you know, he looked back and he saw Lynch kind of closing on him, and he threw on another.
But he
to another gear.
He also seems to have a lot of strength, too, Paul. Low center of gravity.
Yeah.
Keeps those legs
impressive
going.
Impressive night.
Wow. 20-7 Peabody over Danvers. I don't know what this will do with the playoff picture. And we'll have to consult MIAA, I guess, over the weekend. Short kick coming down to the 42-yard line of Danvers, and it's taken right away by number 20 on your program, and that is Mark Cordoba, and he's hit immediately, sophomore. Good job hanging on to it. First and 10 at their own 41 for the Falcons. Oh, I'm sorry, 36. Move it back 5. So now, Danvers really has to open it up.
Yeah, and it just, you know, they haven't had that real big play.
Almost,
but they haven't.
Right.
You know, so.
I don't see Nestor out there unless he's split wide to the right. Andreas will keep it. Yeah, Nestor is in the game. And Andreas fights for yardage to the 40, maybe the 41.
Yeah, you know, they got to get 2 scores, and, you know, getting it 4 yards,
mm-hmm.
4 yards, 4 yards, 5 yards, 3 yards eats up a lot of time.
Second down and 6, ball in the near hash mark. It's at the 41. So it's a 5 yard gain, second and 5. At the 41. And Danvers is moving from right to left. Andreas in the shotgun all night long. Low snap, but he gets it off the turf, fires it off to the right, complete to Nestor after a first down gain. Cordero covering him, but Nestor gets it to the 47. So it is the first down. And they pick up some decent yardage to the 48, is where they're going to put it, 7 yard gain.
Probably have to going to do that. I mean, you know, just realistically, you know, Peabody's going to get the ball back if you score,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, that clock is your enemy right now.
And the clock is at 8:45 with Danvers trailing 20-7. Andreas on the run play, cuts it around the corner, gets it across the 50 to the 47 of Peabody. It is a 5 yard gain. Second down and 5. Right back to the line of scrimmage are the Tanners. Snap to Andreas, rolling to his left, looking, still looking, and throws it away.
Well, you can see he's really just focusing in on Nestor, and, you know, he's probably their best receiver. But one of the hard things to teach a quarterback is you got to read the defense, and if they're taking somebody away, you got to find that other guy.
And again, with high school, Paul, to practice that,
right,
with everything else.
Yeah, and it is. You don't have them long enough, really. And in the off season, they won't let you do anything.
8:12 left to go. Clock stop as a result of the incompleted pass. Andreas will run. Design almost gets the first down before somebody comes up and just slams the pile backwards.
Defensive back came up. And is that 23 again?
It'll be Cordero if it is.
Yeah.
My goodness gracious. Cam Cordero, senior, 5'5". He's listed at 150, Paul.
Well, he plays big, I'll tell you. He came up and put a hit on him.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's at the 43 of Danvers, and we have a fourth down and 1 for Peabody. Andreas right up the middle. He'll get the first down easily and across the 40 to the 37, 38.
Okay, there has to be a sense of urgency now with your play calling and your huddles and getting them to move along.
Well, they're right back to the line of scrimmage, so they've got it. And they've got wide out to the left, wide out to the right, rolling to his right, Andreas, along the line of scrimmage, and he has to throw it away again.
Yeah, see, he's just focused in on Nestor.
He was hit by DeMeo, too. Stops the clock with 7:15 left to go. In regulation, as they say, Okinawa, Santos, and Santos again, the touchdowns for Peabody in the first, second, and fourth quarters, respectively. Danny Lynch, the only score for Danvers, that was in the third quarter, first possession of the Falcons in that third quarter. Next game, next week, that's all I can tell you. You're going to have to look at the website, find out where we'll be during the state tournament. Andreas is going to roll to his right, looking for Nestor. He's going to uncork it, and Nestor is going to try to one-hand it, can't do it. And he was actually, there was contact there.
Yeah, that looked like, yeah. He's pleading his case, but
I don't blame him. I'm not sure it was catchable, but he sure gave it a great effort. Just a little bit overthrown, that hand outstretched. Third down and 10, stopping the clock at 7:08. So it's third and 10 for Danvers.
Well, be a good time for a screen pass. I'm not sure if they have one, but Peabody's defensive line is just teeing off, so that's generally when you want to run a screen.
Dean Borders split to the wide side of the field, which is the near side, and Nestor off on the far side. Once again, Andreas wants to pass. This time he'll run. And he's going to dance forward across the 35, short of the first down to the 33.
Well, good job by Andreas. There's really nothing there, and he might be more of a threat running the ball instead of throwing it.
Well, he does have a nice touch on it, though. When
yeah,
he
does,
up
but I'm just saying that him scrambling is probably
more dangerous type thing. Yeah,
he really focuses in on Nestor.
Well, it's fourth down now. Fourth and four for Danvers. With the clock showing 6.5 minutes to go, and the Falcons are down by 13 points. All on the far hash mark. They're going to split two receivers off to the left, one off to the right. Running back in the backfield with Andreas. Rolling to his left. He's a right-handed thrower. He's going to be sacked at the 35-yard line.
Well, he... not sure what...
Jake Daugherty in, along with a bunch of other guys, but Daugherty was there first.
Well, one of the difficult things, especially in high school, is pass blocking. I mean, you don't... It really takes the whole unit plus one back to really block efficiently enough so you can get the pass off. And I don't know if people got beat or they blitzed into it, but, boy, he had no chance.
Well, that might seal the deal. Peabody has the ball now at their own 35, and they give it to Santos, who this time doesn't break it for a touchdown, only gets 3 yards. So the line of scrimmage was the 35, and Santos gets it to the 38. So it's a nice 3 yard gain for the Peabody running back, who now has 22 carries and 129 yards to go with his two touchdowns. Second down and 7 with the ball resting right there at the 38. And again, we don't know who will be covering next week. We'll have at least one game and maybe two or three next weekend. But we don't know where we'll be until the pairings come out. And I guess the MIAA is to meet on Sunday to go over the tournament setup. The motto is the quarterback. Peabody Danvers line jumps, but they get back, and there goes Santos. 45-50 down the sideline. 40. He loses his balance and just falls out of bounds. Or he was gone. He's out of bounds at the Peabody 35.
Well, they went unbalanced right, and the defense of Danvers shifted to their left, and then, good call, then they ran left. So there was less people over there.
Move it back 5 yards. He went out of bounds at the 40, but it's a 25-yard gain. And Doug Santos, Paul, 23 carries, 154 yards. Including that long touchdown.
Yeah, he's He's the real deal.
Well, we've seen him carry the ball more than 30 times sometimes and playing offense and defense, and he's just cooked after a game. All right, so Okinawa this time gets a handoff running behind DeMayo. Around the corner, he may go. Breaks it into the secondary. 20, 10, and tripped up from behind just inside the 10-yard line on a saving tackle by Dempsey.
It's kind of fun to watch, too. He's got a different running style, but he makes some nice cuts. He runs
like a dancer.
Straight up.
Yeah. They put it just outside the 10. 30-yard gain for Okinawa. 4:58 left to go in the game, and this is looking like lights out as Peabody is threatening now. They can get a first down with the ball just outside the 10. So they can get a first down just inside the 1 without scoring. DeMayo is the fullback. He's in a three-point stance. But Santos, no, it's kept in a pass play incomplete by D'Amato. I don't know what that was. It was some play action, and he threw it away to nobody there.
I think he missed the handoff, and he just threw it away.
Okay.
I
thought Santos had it, but he just...
Yeah, I think Santos thought he had it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if he did throw it away, that's a smart play.
So it's second down and 10 for Peabody, and they are at, again, just outside the 11-yard line, leading this one 20-7. Making the home crowd happy. Peabody with a resurgence after a tough start this year, some tough losses. Playing very, very well now. Looking for their looking to go over 500 at 4-3 and get into the playoffs, of course. Here's a play action. D'Amato rolling to his left. Going to keep it. Going to run with it. Gets to the 5. Tries to back his way into the end zone. And he's just short. We have to find out where they... Looks like they put it right at the goal line. I wonder if that's a first down.
You're
going to measure? Yep. Yeah, they'll measure because the ball is just right on the goal line. Right next to the goal line. That looked like it wasn't going to go anywhere. And
right.
D'Amato was hit at about the 5 and he just turned around.
Well,
and
it looked like he was planning to throw it. But then he chose to run and he... found a little seam.
They will measure. It's that close. It'll be a third down otherwise if they don't have the first down. Looks like they might not have it. Missed it by that much. All right, Phil is telling me Peabody goes to the Division I playoffs and they could play Andover or Everett. Well, that doesn't look like fun for either one of those. Thanks, Phil. So Peabody will be in the playoffs, and they'll be playing either Andover or Everett next week.
Well, I mean...
But why not?
I don't think that's a bad match.
Why not?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if they're pretty impressive tonight.
Well, they played Everett very tough last week. They were very... last year.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Everett's not the same team as a year ago.
And they were
ago.
Very disappointed in losing that
one.
Yeah. All right, so it's 31 inches for the first down. And a yard for the touchdown. 4:07 with the clock moving. D'Amato under center. I formation. And off Santos. Tries to jump over the pile. Nope. Now it depends where they spotted to see if they got the first down. He did not get into the end zone.
Well, that is probably even better for them because it eats up more clock. They're running more plays.
They got to measure again,
I
presume.
They got the first down. I would think he broke that.
Yep, first down. First and goal. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. So it's at the 1. 3:45 left to go. Clock moving. So each team will advance into the state tournament next week. Danvers opponent, TBA, or TBD, I guess. And Peabody, according to Phil, will be playing either Everett or Andover. And neither of those, as you mentioned, Paul, is insurmountable.
No, I don't think so at all.
First and goal for Peabody.
Just don't want to play Everett at home.
Very, very strong effort tonight over a strong Danvers team. Delay a game against Peabody. Well, they look like they're asking questions and not getting any answers.
Well, the official I think the official was standing over the ball, so they couldn't snap it, and then the referee called delay a game.
Well, they're talking to the referee, but it's going to be no avail. Move it back outside the five. So, move it back out to the five. Still first and goal. We still have 3:10 left to go in the game. Under center. Pitch to Santos. Dancing his way forward. Looked like a sweep. Cut it back inside. Did not get in. And we have Danvers player down.
Boy, the speed of his cuts are just at a different level.
Well, he gets it to the one again.
Yeah.
But one of the Danvers Falcons.
Number 40, I
was
believe.
Was injured,
right.
Yep. That's Tom Dempsey. But now I see two players over him. I don't see anybody else, an adult over there. Well, now they come over. .255 left to go in the game that was moving along at light speed for most of the night and slowed substantially here in the fourth quarter. I'd like to remind you the presentation of MSO News Sports is brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. And if you're heading over there, tell them you heard about it and you want to watch the game. MSO News Sports.
I used to tease Steve Dembowski. I was playing Swampscott at Swampscott, and I was the head coach at Danvers, and we had a kid hurt his knee on the field. It took, in those days, they didn't have an ambulance on the field.
Right.
It took about 20 to 25 minutes before the ambulance showed up, and so the game was delayed. And then about 5 years later, one of the Swampscott kids, I was coaching at Gloucester, and one of the Swampscott kids dislocated his hip. There were three orthopedic surgeons in the crowd that were down there in about 2 minutes. I thought they were going to operate on him right there. I mean, it was amazing. A Danvers kid gets hurt. No one shows up.
Well, from what I understand, Paul, Gloucester's been blessed with having MDs on the sidelines for years.
Oh, yeah.
And some of them are just like world-class surgeons.
They are. Dr. Evans, Ira Evans.
Ira Evans, yeah, among them. So it's second down and goal from the one for Peabody. And off Santos, touchdown. Third touchdown of the night for Santos. And we add five more yards to his totals. 25 carries, 159 yards, and two touchdowns for Santos. This one from a yard out. And for Peabody, very impressive 9-play, 65-yard touchdown drive, Coach. 2:36 left to go in the game. They up the ante now to 26-7. And D'Amato will try the point after one more time. Holding for D'Amato is Franco Abatessa, who's going to pick it up and run with it. Now he's going to throw the ball, and it's knocked down. He was looking for Santos, but the conversion attempt is NG, but it's 26-7 Peabody. Well, they look strong tonight, Paul, on both sides of the ball, and they played a very good game. Of course, Santos is the man, but other options as well on offense, including Okinawa with a big night.
Yeah, and the fullback, I mean, when they, those dives, you always had to respect the fullback dive, too. You couldn't just give that up because it's such a quick hitter and it's positive yardage. So you look at, the three backs, the complement of the three was really impressive.
And Danvers, I guess we could call it an off night, being outplayed by Peabody tonight, but you know the Falcons will do well in the tournament as well. They a very strong season coming in at 5-1. Disappointing for them tonight, certainly, but a very solid team, both on offense and defense. So a real heavyweight match tonight. Peabody with the better of it in this one. Both coaches doing a terrific job this year. Congratulations to both programs, and we hope they go far in the tournament. Kick to the 25-yard line on the kickoff. Going to be returned by Lynch, cutting diagonally from right to left. Goes out of bounds at the 37. So So Danvers gets the ball again with 2:29 remaining in the game. Only touchdown for the Falcons tonight. Lynch, 15 yards out. And that's it. But they'll start this drive with the Falcons at their 38.
Well, you think back, I mean, Danvers scored, and then they held Peabody, and then they just had those penalties right in a row and lost all momentum.
Yeah, strange game that way tonight with some strange penalties.
Yeah.
Costly. Big ones.
Very costly.
All right, so we spread the field, two receivers on each side of the line of scrimmage, but it is to Nestor, who was clobbered as he went up really vulnerable, caught the ball at the 47. Andreas looking for Nestor all night long, gets it out to the 47. About a 9-yard gain, second and one. And the hit put on by John Villani. This time Andreas rolls to his right with some running room, and he's going to take advantage of that, get the first down, and go out of bounds.
Inside the 40. You know, anytime you throw the ball over the middle, you want it from the chest down, because once that receiver extends his arms, he's so vulnerable to the defensive backs.
Yeah, you saw that hit. Right in the midsection from behind as you're extending for the ball. But it is a first down. Andreas picking up the first down at the 44 of Peabody, driving from right to left inside the two-minute mark. I have Danvers with just the one timeout, but don't hold me to it. Once again, Andreas looks to throw, gets the snap. Oh, it's not Andreas. Overthrown, intercepted again by Peabody at the 32, running around to the 35 and then touching down a knee. Second interception of the evening for...
You know, the pass was to Andreas.
Cedric Gutierrez.
Yeah, they put Andreas out as a receiver.
Yeah.
And he ran a route. And
Dean Borders was in a quarterback. And that was intercepted once again. By the Tanners. And that was Cedric Gutierrez, his second interception of the night. So that shuts it down. Let's see, 12 and 6, so that's add that. 147 yards of offense. 65.
Uh-oh.
Run play. That's going to... go close to a first down after starting the Tanners starting from their own 38. Get the first down. Who carried the ball, Paul? Was it Santos?
Santos
again?
Yeah.
I was
he almost broke it.
Looking at some stats here. Trying to get my stats together. Another 11 yards. 26 carries, 170 yards for Santos. 284 total for Peabody. Scoreboard clock goes dead. All right, Phil's giving me some news here. With Peabody win over Danvers, Beverly versus Gloucester next week at Bertram Field?
Where, at Salem?
All right, run play for Santos. Thank you, Phil. As he gets nothing, maybe a yard.
So that's at Salem?
Well, I hope they clean up that booth ball if we're going there.
Well.
To the 49. After a one-yard gain. Now is the clock moving. Clock's back on, so 30 seconds left to go. As it went dark there for a second. And maybe one more play. Very impressive win for the Peabody Tanners tonight. And they will be facing either Everett or... who'd we say? Or Andover. And it'll be Beverly Gloucester at Bertram Field next week, according to what we have upstairs here. So that'll do it. We'll take a break and come back with some final thoughts. Final score from Peabody. It's the Peabody Tanners 20 and the Danvers Falcons 7.
A
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. Well, all the playoff permutations we talked about before the game are up in smoke. We'll get to that in a minute, but a very impressive win by the Peabody Tanners tonight, beating Danvers by a score of 20-7. And good evening, I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And the game began with a long, long drive that went for naught by Peabody before they finally got together on the scoreboard with 1:59 left to go first quarter. It was Ugi Okinawa scoring from 42 yards out, five plays, 81-yard touchdown drive by the Peabody Tanners. They led 7-0 with 1:59 left to go. Doug Santos scored with no time remaining on the clock after getting the ball down to the goal line with 5 seconds left. The Tanners were able to put it back together again, go into the end zone. Santos scoring from a yard out. Zero was on the clock. 14-0 at that point at the half. That was a 9-play, 33-yard touchdown drive for Peabody. Danny Lynch, opening drive for the Danvers Falcons in the second half. 11 plays, 66 yards. Lynch scoring from 15 yards out with 5:01 left to go. Third quarter, Danvers was closing the gap to 14-7. But then Santos, a 54-yard breaker with 9:46 left to go in the fourth quarter, opened up the lead. One play, 54 yards. It was 20-7 at that point. And then Santos again from a yard out toward the end of the game, 2:35 left to go. 9 plays and 65 yards for the Tanners. Final score, 26-7. For Santos, who becomes the first 100-yard rusher against Danvers this season, 26 carries, 170 yards, 3 touchdowns. What else can you say? 284 yards of offense for the Peabody Tanners, 147 yards of offense for the Danvers Falcons. And according to Phil Brody, Gloucester will be playing Beverly as a result of this at Bertram Field next week, and Peabody will be playing either Everett or Andover next week in the tournament. Paul, final thoughts?
Well, I thought, Rick, that Peabody kind of changed their philosophy after the first set of downs and went on balance line and did a good job of mixing up the backs carrying the ball, and their offensive line certainly did a good job blocking Danvers' defense. And Danvers, looking the second half, the beginning of the second half, they were going to maybe come back, but that second series where they had so many the penalties, and it just threw them, it's like they lost their momentum there. Well, and, also, the other thing too, Rick, is that, it's hard to practice. I mean, you don't have a kid with Santos speed in practice, and then you get here, and, you see it for real, and it takes time to adjust to it, if you can adjust to it. And they couldn't. He was tough tonight.
Should mention, What's your name, young man?
Luis
Sosimo. What is it? Luis Sosimo. Right. Okay. Luis Sosimo is the one of the announcers for Peabody Cable up here, and you're telling me that Okinawa had how many yards?
87 yards.
87 yards. So big night for Okinawa as well, as it wasn't just a one-man show tonight for Peabody. Very impressive win. And, Paul, we'll figure out where we're going next week, I guess.
Yeah, look forward to it. Who knows?
All right. Okay, thanks, guys. Paul Ingram and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Final score from Peabody. It was the Peabody Tanners 26 and the Denver Falcons 7. Check out the website. We'll tell you where we're going to be for our games next week.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.